And I'm glad to be with you. I want to talk to us for just a few minutes tonight about the topic on the board, when the church grew. Am I talking to a group of people tonight who's interested in this church growing? Can I assume that? Can I see some nods? I hope so. In order for the church to grow, you've got to grow individually, right? In 1 Peter 2:2, Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may what? Grow thereby. In 2 Peter 3:18, Peter said, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's not optional as to whether I grow or not. It's a responsibility that's mine and yours as well. In our study tonight, I'd like to catalog for us that what is it that causes churches to grow? If I can find out what caused them to grow in Bible days, and we do the same thing that they did, I tell you what, we're going to grow. I began by pointing out to you in the parable of the sower. In Luke chapter 8, the Bible says in verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and you remember he sowed in different places. He sowed by the wayside, on a rock, among thorns, and good ground. But according to the comment that the Lord made about it, only one of those was productive. Which one was that? It was the one in which on the good ground are they. And so I learned from that the soil is the hearts of people like you and me. Let me start again with that one. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, until you find an individual that has a honest and good heart, it's not going to work. You can put the seed in their heart all day long. It's not going to be productive because you've got the wrong kind of soil. It's not your fault. And since we're not mind readers, we don't know whether or not an individual has a good and honest heart or not. We just need to be found putting the seed in as many hearts as we can. And now, the first point I want you to think about tonight. The church grew in Bible days when the seed was put in the soil. You know what we're doing with the seed today? Haggai points it out in Haggai 2:19. He asked the question, Haggai 2:19. You know what the question was? Is the seed yet in the barn? Every farmer knows that if you leave the seed in the barn, not going to be much of a crop, right? You've got to get the seed out of the barn, put it in the soil, in order for it to be productive. That's Haggai 2:19. Come with me this time to the book of Acts, in chapter 8. In chapter 8, there was persecution among the Lord's people. The Bible said they were scattered abroad, went everywhere. What did they do? Did they hide? No, sir. They went everywhere preaching the word. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ to them. It brought joy to the city. In Acts 8:13, what was the result of putting the seed in the soil? Men and women were baptized. Now, if you expect this church to grow, the first thing you've got to do, put the seed in the soil. What does that mean? It means teaching folks, doesn't it? Like in 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul said, the things you have learned, commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to do what? Teach others also. By the way, are you doing that? I suggest to every member of this church that you make a list of 6 people that you know. I hear somebody say, I don't know 6 people. Well, I tell you what, everybody's going to have to know 6 people one of these days. But anyhow, I'm not sure you got that, but you think about that. Anyhow, you got to know some people and pick out one of that 6, write their name down on the card, put it on the mirror in the bathroom, and keep it in front of you, and start tonight to do everything you can do to teach that person by putting the seed in the soil. That's the only way that the church is going to grow, is that the seed lodges in good and honest hearts. Number 2. The church grew in New Testament days whenever they practiced discipline. A lot of churches don't ever practice it. They don't even know what it is. And that's sad, isn't it? Come with me this time, the book of Acts in chapter 5. Remember Acts chapter 5? The story of Ananias and Sapphira. They sold a possession. Nothing wrong with owning a possession, right? Nothing wrong with selling a possession. They got some money for it. Nothing wrong with having some money from selling a possession. But the problem was they lied about their giving. And God don't like lying. In Colossians 3:9, he said, lie not one to another. In the book of Revelation 21:8, there's a place called hell that's destined for those individuals that are said to be liars. And we need to learn that well. Now, what happened when God practiced discipline among the Lord's people? Well, one thing that happened was great fear came upon all the church and as many as heard these things. Acts 5 verse 11. Could you imagine, like last Sunday morning, suppose in our giving that you lied about your giving. You pretended to have given as you've been prospered. 1 Corinthians 16:2. But you didn't do that. And you just keeled over. Can you imagine that happening? I could imagine somebody saying, no, wait a minute. Would you pass the collection basket back by me again? I think I need to revise my giving. Didn't that might have happened? It just might have happened. But what else happened now when discipline was practiced in the church? Come with me to verse 14 and you'll learn what happened when discipline was practiced. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Look at that. Would you like to see this church grow like that? By multitudes of both men and women. Now, if this church needs to practice discipline, I hope you do that. But if you don't, you need to begin to do that. Paul, writing the Thessalonians, talked about that. You remember him talking about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6? What did he say about it? It's a command, he said. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from whom? From every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which received of us. Now, to walk disorderly, it's a military term. To walk out of duty, out of step. Out of step with what? Out of step with the Word of God. Whenever individuals are out of step with what God says, and we're not straightened up after admonition and concern and care by the members, but after everything's exhausted, you have no choice but to withdraw fellowship from those individuals. It's designed to keep the church pure. And it's designed to cause the individual to be ashamed, straighten up his life, and please God. But the church grew in Bible days whenever discipline was practiced. Right? You see that? Come with me again to Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, the church had a problem. Church has always had problems. And it always will, because we're dealing with people like you and me, right? Now, the problem was the widows had been neglected in the daily ministration, Acts 6 and verse 1. How did the church take care of that? Did they cart these widows up and send them off to a widowage somewhere? I don't think so. What they did was they appointed men among the local church to take care of this business. The local church did its own work. Now, if this church continues to grow, it's going to be because the church does its own work under the authority of the elders. It's got to do its own work. Can't let somebody else do it. And a lot of churches are doing that today. Now, I want to know, how did this affect church growth when the local church did its own work? Come with me to the book of Acts 6 and verse 7 now. 6 and 7. And the word of God increased. Look at that. Increased. And the number of the disciples, what happened? What does your Bible say? Multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Can you imagine that? See, the church grew in Bible days whenever the local church got busy and did its own work. When this church does that, are you doing that? I hope you are. Just continue to do that. And it's one of the ingredients of church growth. But also, in the book of Acts in chapter 9 and verse 31, the church grew in New Testament days whenever the church had peace among itself or rest. You know, there's some churches around today that they're never at peace. Somebody's always stirring up something, right? That needs to, by the way, be nipped in the bud. Don't let it happen. Don't let it fester. But in the book of Acts 9 and 31, watch it. Then had the churches rest or peace throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were what? Edified. What's the word edify mean? It means to be built up, doesn't it? The church was built up, grew. And they walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit were what? Multiplied. Do you see that? Would you like to see this church multiply? Would you? How many do we have Sunday? In attendance, we had 90, it looks like. If that multiplied, look what you could do with that. It can happen. Whenever you take these ingredients that brought about church growth in New Testament days and put it into practice, church is going to grow. Now, whenever members are not at peace one with another, you got problems. How do you handle that? Well, it's nothing new. In the book of Galatians, the apostle talked about that in chapter 5 and verse 15. Galatians 5:15. He said, but if you bite and devour one another. You know anybody that does that? Do you have any members here that would do a thing like that? Bite and devour one another? He said, take heed. Take heed that you be not consumed one of another. That's sad, isn't it? When brethren cannot get along over petty stuff. I'm not talking about standing for the truth now. I conducted a gospel meeting in a good church in Indianapolis a few years ago. We had 300 on Sunday morning. 300. We baptized 42 people in the week. 21 night. It's really. They're not meeting tonight. You know why? They're arguing and fussing and fighting among themselves and literally fall and fight themselves plumb out of business. Isn't that sad? Don't let that happen to you. It can, by the way. Nip it in the bud when people start stirring up trouble. We need to be at peace with each other and rest. And as a result of that, the church in Acts 9 and verse 31, multiply. Let it not. Come with me this time to the book of Acts in 19. Acts chapter 19. 19, 19 and 20. The church grew in Bible days whenever they burned some bad books. Listen to it. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Think of that. So I pause here to ask you a question. Don't answer out loud, just think about it. You have any bad books in your house that need to be burned? Pornography? Playboy books? Got any of those around? By the way, what are your children watching? What are they reading? Somebody said, well, they're on the internet, and that's great, you know. Be careful. They have their own telephone, they have their own this, they have their own that. And one parent told me that we are not allowed in our children's rooms. Because the children put a sign on the door, no admittance. And we're not allowed to go in their room to see what they're reading and seeing and the like. I tell you how to handle that. It's very, very simple. You want to know? Just take the door down. Now solve that real fast. And by the way, if you need some help with that, Don and I will come over tonight after this service is over in just a few minutes and help you take the door down. No charge. That fair enough? Seriously now. when people fill their minds with filth. And that happens all the time. You know what's going to happen? The church is not going to grow. Whenever members get in that position, you got problems. But I want to know now what happened when all of this bad stuff was burned up. Come down with me to Acts 19 and verse 20. So mightily grew, as that word grew, the word of God and prevailed. Isn't that something? You see, whenever we follow these attributes and these qualities, what in the world would keep this church from doing the same thing that the churches did in New Testament days? Think about that. One more. Come with me this time to the book of Acts 16, verse 4 and 5. We're looking at cases whenever the church grew in Bible days. Look at it. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep. I urge you to underscore them. Decrees to be kept. That were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. God's decrees is simply His word. It has to be kept. That means it has to be followed. It has to be believed and obeyed. Not just halfway, but heartily. Being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in those kinds of things. But I want to know now, whenever God's decrees were kept, how did that affect church growth? What's verse 5? Of Acts 16. So were the churches established in the faith. Isn't that something? And increase in number. Notice how often. Daily. Would you like to see this church grow every day? Would you? Sure you would. Wouldn't we all? But in order for that to happen, we've got to take these ingredients that causes churches to grow and to put them into practice. You can't just say, Johnny, that sounds pretty good, and forget all about it. You've got to take them home with you. Put them in your life. Put them into effect. Put that seed in the soil. Practice discipline whenever necessary. Be sure the church does its own work here. Keep peace among the brethren. Don't let it fester and get out of hand. Nip it in the bud. Burn some bad stuff that you have at home. Get rid of it. Don't let it filter your life, your heart. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Remember? You see, what we put in comes out. Put in bad stuff comes out. Put in good stuff comes out. And learn above all things to keep God's decrees to the letter without exception. The sermon's yours. But should you be in this audience tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel? Seed's been put in the soil, right? The word of God has been planted. Right? You've heard it. Do you believe it? You got to. In Hebrews 11:6, without faith you cannot please God. Right? Jesus said, for except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. You don't want to do that. The jailer said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 16:31. And the conversion of Philip and the eunuch. Remember what the eunuch confessed? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ, I believe, is the Son of God. And Paul preached to Philip. Philip said, almost thou caused me to believe. Almost. Almost. It's not enough. He said, I know you believe. Almost thou caused me to be a Christian. Almost. You know, that's not good enough. Then you've got to repent of those sins. You've got to turn from them. That's repentance. Have a new heart, a new mind. And go in a different direction. Right? God commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. A good definition of repentance is in Matthew 21:28. Remember the story? Seven men had two boys. Two sons. And he said, go work in my vineyard today. Remember that? One of them said, I'm not going to go. But he repented and went. Question. What did he do when he repented? He went. But before he went, what did he do? Change his mind. So repentance is a change of mind, right now. That results in a change in your life. You got to do that. It's repent of Paris. Luke 13:3 and Luke 13:5. Then you got to be baptized. If you're
you want to be saved. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 6. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's what it is. And when you do that, the Lord will pardon your past sins. Never bring them up again if you don't commit them again. Remember them no more. The Hebrew writer said. And what will he do with it? He'll automatically add you to the church, right? You don't have to join anything. Like in the Baptist church. You have to join that. I think the voter. You don't have to do that. The Lord, before you can join anything, automatically, he adds you to it, right? And you're a Christian, a member of the church of the Lord. Paul said, the churches of Christ salute you. Romans 16, verse 16. Maybe you've done that in the past, but you've gotten careless. You haven't been doing what you know to do and being what you know to be. You can straighten all that up by repentance, confession, and prayer unto God. We're going to sing the song right now and invite you to come to worship.